Jesus' name. Today is the day of your miracle.
Amen.
Today is the day God will reward you for your faith.
Amen.
Today is the day God will reward you for seeking Him first.
Amen.
Today, you are seated in heavenly places. Today, healing is yours.
Amen.
Today, you will touch the edge of His garment.
Amen.
And you will be healed.
Amen.
Today, God will provide everything you need. Today you will not go begging bread.
Amen.
Today men will give to you.
Amen.
Your vats will overflow.
Amen.
You will be blessed and not cursed. God will set you above and not beneath. You are the head and not the tail this day. God rejoices in you today. God loves you today. Today you will see His faithfulness. Today if you lack wisdom, God will give it to you.
Amen.
Today the destiny God has for you will come to pass.
Amen.
Today every promise of God is yes and amen.
Amen.
Today you will bear fruit.
Amen.
Today the gifts of the Holy Spirit will rise up in you.
Amen.
Today you will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover.
Amen.
Today you will be filled with love.
Amen.
And joy and peace and patience.
Amen.
Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Amen.
Today, you will declare the glory of God.
Amen.
Today, God will bear witness with you that you are His child.
Amen.
Today, you will not be an orphan.
Amen.
God will not leave you a stranger ever.
Amen.
Today, God will make His home with you.
Amen.
Today, He will come to you.
Amen.
God will bless you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is not slack concerning His promises. He is not slack concerning His promises. God has your name on the palm of His hand today. God will not forget you. God will never forsake you. He will not abandon you. God will oversee all the people who look after your life in Jesus' name. God will give you favor with officials when you're doing things at the hospital, things with doctors, when you're doing things with people overseeing visas. God will give you favor. God will speak to them and guide them. You are God's prized possession. God calls you His child today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Today, God will answer your prayers. He will hear you pray, and it will be done for you. Hallelujah. Today, the enemy will come against you, but he will flee seven ways.
Amen.
Today, what the enemy intends for harm, God will turn around for good.
Amen.
Today, God will work all things together for good in your life. Today, nothing will separate you from His love.
Amen.
Today, you will not be afraid. You will not be afraid today.
Amen.
Today, you will have a spirit of love, power. Today, you will have sound mind. Hallelujah. Today, you have authority over the power of the enemy. The enemy flees in the name of Jesus. Today, Jesus stands behind you and backs you up. Today, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Today, you will not be trampled upon. Today, God will give you a garment of praise for a spirit of depression. God will be the lifter of your head today. God will say, "Why are you downcast? Look to me." Hallelujah. Today, we will remember His benefits. We will remember His promises. We will remember His faithfulness. Today we will not be ashamed of the gospel, and He will not be ashamed of us today. Hallelujah. Today we will have boldness to speak the gospel as we should. Today God will open a door to us that we can speak the gospel to someone. And God will give us courage to do it. Today, God will give us an anointing. And in that anointing and that strength, we will go out. Today is an amazing day. And today is just like yesterday. It is an amazing day. And it's going to be just like tomorrow. Because God will be the same tomorrow as well. And God is not going to respect you greater than me or me greater than you. Today, God is going to watch over His word to perform it in your life. Today, when you return God's word to Him, He will do it. That is the confidence you have when you speak according to His word. He hears you. And because He hears you, you know you will have those things. Hallelujah. Amen. We have an amazing life. What God has done and what He is doing and who He is with us today is wonderful. Let's have a look at Genesis chapter 18. This is speaking of Abraham and Sarah. You know the story well. Verse 1. Now the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. When he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring a piece of bread, that you may refresh yourselves. After that you may go on, since you have visited your servant. And they said, So do, as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah, and said, Quickly, prepare 3 measures of fine flour, knead it, and make bread cakes. Abraham also ran to the herd, and took a tender and choice calf, and gave it to the servant. And he hurried to prepare it. He took curds and milk and the calf which he had prepared and placed it before them. And he was standing by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, Where is Sarah your wife? And he said, There, in the tent. He said, I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah your wife will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. Sarah laughed to herself, saying, After I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you. At this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah denied it, however, saying, I did not laugh. For she was afraid. And he said, No, but you did laugh. Verse 13. And the Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old? Verse 14. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Nothing is too difficult for the Lord today. Now, we know this story. I think everyone here has heard this story. But let's just digest this for a minute. Sarah was old, well advanced in years. How old, when the child was finally born, who knows how old Abraham was? Was he 100? You'll see it. It's in the scriptures. He was very old, so you can look at that. Okay. They were well past the youth. Now, if the Lord arrived to a couple of young people, maybe in their early 20s, and said, You're going to have a child, would we think that was amazing? Well, we'd thank God because it comes from the Lord. But we would say, well, that's the way it works. But God is not bound by circumstances. Even, it says, the deadness of Sarah's womb. Did Abraham and Sarah have any other children? God's blessing upon people is to give them, as you say, in these children, in this story. So they've lived their life and they've become old. God picks these people and says, You're going to have a child. Every day is an amazing day for us as Christians. Everything we talked about just before we read this is amazing. But I want to tell you, not only is today amazing, there is a day coming that is going to be even more amazing. Something in your life you're waiting for. God has not forgotten. That day is coming. You are believing God for something. That day is coming. God has a time with some things, and we're on that time frame. It's His timing. He said, in a year I will turn, and you will have a child. A day came, of course, as you know, where she had the child. When God speaks, it will come to pass. And you might think, how is that going to be possible? How am I going to find favor? How is it going to be decades have passed? But God will open doorways for you to keep traveling. You will travel more and more. Let's go to Genesis 37. Genesis 37. This is about Joseph. We know the story of Joseph. It's an amazing story of what he went through. If you pick up Genesis in your own time and start reading chapter 37, I almost guarantee you can't put it down, because you see all this that's going on. And it's such an incredible story. Let's read from verse 1. Now Jacob lived in the land where his father had sojourned, in the land of Canaan. These are the records of the generations of Jacob. Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pasturing the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought back a bad report about them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a multicolored tunic. His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Verse 5. Then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Please listen to this dream which I have had. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and also stood erect, and behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf." Then his brothers said to him, "Are you actually going to reign over us? Or are you really going to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Where did the dream come from? God gave him the dream. Verse 9. Now he had still another dream and related it to his brothers and said, "Lo, I have had still another dream. And behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." He related it to his father and to his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come and bow ourselves before you to the ground?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. Now, next few chapters, please refresh the story. It's a beautiful story, an amazing story, and a story you might be moved to tears. As you take yourself there, let it do that. Joseph gets these two dreams. The dreams were from God. God gave him these dreams. The brothers became upset with him, and you know the rest of the story. They took him and they sold him into slavery. Came back and told the father he's dead. They cut up an animal and put the blood over his tunic and brought it back to the father. Joseph's taken into slavery, into Egypt, and he ends up in Potiphar's house. And the Spirit of God is upon him, just like the Spirit of God is upon us. And even though he is in this persecuted position, what happens to him? He excels. The Spirit of God will cause you to excel. You will do well wherever you are, and God will promote you. Joseph looked after the affairs of Potiphar's house. And he had access to everything, if you like, except his wife, which he was fine with. And it's very interesting because the final point, when the wife grabs his tunic and he runs away, on that day, you'll notice that when he went into the house, no other servants were there, and he was alone with her. So, Joseph is a man of wisdom. And it seems that even though she made all these advances, he never put himself at a place where he was alone. At this point of being alone, that's where there was more trouble. The Potiphar, as you know, had a high ruling position, and Joseph's put into prison falsely. He's put into prison, and while he's there, again, the Spirit of God is upon him. So though he's in prison, what happens? He excels. He does well, and he's promoted. And the anointing of God upon him, and the wisdom, and the gifts, cause him to interpret dreams. And he does that. And as a result, the very thing that the person dreamed about, that Joseph interpreted, came to pass. And the person whose dream Joseph interpreted said, "When I get out of prison, I'll remember you." Well, did he? He was forgotten. Well, you may have been forgotten too, but not by God. And your day is coming, and you will be brought before the right people. 2 years passed. God gave Pharaoh the dream. And you know the dream. And the dream talks about the famine that's coming. It's got the cows. It's got the grain. Okay. The person remembers this man Joseph, who interpreted the dream, and it came to pass exactly as he said. So Joseph is brought before Pharaoh. He interprets the dream. And he doesn't just interpret the dream, he gives him a plan of action. God will give you plans of action. People will look to you and say, "How can we get through this time coming up in 2009? And God will give you direction. People will look to you. Joseph tells this, and Pharaoh and the court are well pleased with it. So Joseph gets put in charge. And Pharaoh says to him, "Only in my court will I be above you. Everywhere else in the land, you reign." So, Joseph has gone. The age of 17. He's been taken. He's at Potiphar's house for a period of time. He's in prison for years. And then he's second in charge over all the land. And, of course, you know the famine comes. The brothers come before him. And it's a heart-wrenching story because you see, as you read it, Joseph breaks down and cries. This has cut him. This has hurt him. God has not forgot what has happened to you. What you have gone through, God hasn't dismissed it. It's not that God does not care. God will have a day coming where things will be made right. Joseph lived a life of serving God, of following God. Joseph didn't pick up a stone and kill Potiphar's wife. He didn't kill Potiphar. He didn't break out of prison. But God kept promoting him. And God will keep promoting you. And we will keep doing the same thing. The brothers came. Now you know the rest of the story. The brothers come. He sends them away with their money. They don't know what's going on. They come back. And they end up eating with Joseph. They still at this point don't know who the Joseph is, who he is. And he brings the younger brother. And he puts the wine cup in there from his own table, and he sends them away and sends his servants after him and says, "What have you done? You've someone stolen from they didn't say Joseph, but from Joseph's property." And they go through and eventually find it's in the youngest one. And some people say maybe it was a test. Maybe Joseph was seeing, are my brothers still evil and wicked? Are they still prepared to sell out the youngest? But the brothers stood up and said, "Please don't take him. We've made a promise to our father." As you know the rest of the story, the father, the family travel out. And along this time, Joseph reveals himself because they go back, they tell the father they come. And God brings an incredible restoration of this family. And Joseph says to him, this was intended for harm, but God turned it around for good. God will turn it around for good in your life as well. We have all suffered. Every one of us have gone through things. Maybe there is still pain attached. God will turn that pain around. Joseph's father died 17 years later. So at this point, you think, how old is Joseph? He was 17 when he had the dream. Maybe about 10 years later, the dreams came to pass. The sheaves, his brothers, the 11 sheaves, his 11 brothers came and they bowed before him. "Please, my Lord," because they didn't know who he was. "Please, we just come here to buy grain. Please help us." And then what happened? The father came. They all came and they all came and bowed down before him. The dreams God has given you will come to pass. It may be today. It may be in 1 year's time the Lord will return and it will be as he has said. But it will come to pass. God is not slack concerning his promise. So I want to say to you, what God has said to you, it will happen. The dreams God has given you, they will come to pass. Now you may have, you may have at times been negatively impacted, hurt by Christians. Have you ever noticed that God will often answer prayer through people? You were in financial lack and someone will say, I was praying and I just felt the Lord say I was to give you $200. And you thank the Lord and rejoice. Have you ever had a situation that you've known about where someone disobeyed God and it impacted you negatively? I have. So maybe if you think about something. And I remember going through a period of time where a lot of these things happened. And I came to this conclusion. I said, God, you are wonderful. God, you're beautiful. God, you are faithful. But your people aren't. Now, this is not my heart today, but this was my heart then. I said, God, you work through people and people disobey. And I went through this time of saying, God, I just don't understand how this works. You are faithful and your yes and amen to your word. But you send people along. I remember one day a man came and I was in great financial need. So I didn't have a fridge. That was how I lived for about a year. And I earned about $6,000 a year. And my confession was not, oh, I'm poor. I did not go around with my head down and all this type of thing. And this man came towards me. And God said, I've sent him to bless you financially. And I thought, praise the Lord. Now, that didn't happen with everyone I met, but this one came up. And this man came up and he said, how's it going? And I said, good. And he said, how are things financially? And it's like he was testing the water. And I said to him, I believe God is meeting all my needs according to his riches and glories in Christ Jesus. And he went, oh, okay. And he walked off. And I thought, oh no, what? What happened? And I suffered loss. And situations like that happened. Maybe that's happened. I came to a point where I was saying what I said to you to God. I said, God, I don't understand. How does this work? You are perfect, but you're not right down here in physical form with me to be obedient. God wants us to be obedient. Do you know when you're not obedient, it may have a very bad impact upon someone. I've heard people tell stories about God told them to witness to someone they didn't, that person died. We can't sit back and think, but they're only 23. Tonight their life might be taken. If God says one thing to you, instantly up and obey. And pray that for yourself. It's one of the great things someone prayed for me. They'd pray, Justin, hears your voice, Lord, and he instantly obeys. I know my wife prays that. Pray that for one another. And let that be something in your life. If God says something to you, even if you're not 100% sure, okay, go and pray, Lord, are you saying that I should do this? And take action. So at this time, as I was struggling with these things, I became downhearted. And it affected my faith. And I knew everything God said and what he did. But I looked and I said, but God, I don't know how that's working in my life. Maybe you've had that. And God said this thing to me. Well, actually, let me tell you how this worked. I got a phone call. And this person said to me, I was praying and I felt God say, I was to ring you and ask you, what do you want? And whatever you want, I'm supposed to do. Now, I have never had a phone call like that. What do you want? And I thought, what is this person talking about? And they said, do you want to go for a holiday somewhere? Would you like to go to an island off of the Queensland coast? And I thought, well, okay, this is this sort of thing. What do you want? The Lord has told me to ring you and say, whatever you want, say it, and I will do it for you. And I just thought, this is incredible. So I said, can I please pray? And I'll call you back. And I went for a walk around the block. And as I'm walking, I'm praying. I said, Lord, what would be something wise? Because I thought of this holiday and I thought, now at the time I'd been working quite a lot. I was busy and I thought, Lord, what would be wise? Now, some friends of mine had a membership to a gym health club. And it had these very nice outdoor pool facilities and a spa. And I'd been there one time and I found it so relaxing. At the time, I think I was doing about 80 hours a week in the church. And it was so nice to go there because I wouldn't have my cell phone. There would be no one ringing and some major things going on. And I'd just sit there and refresh. And that was lovely. And they had a yearly membership there. And now I couldn't afford any of these things. My income was, as I said, I didn't have a fridge. I didn't have these sorts of things. And so I thought a year membership there would be great. Rather than a holiday for 2 weeks, every day if I wanted to, I could go to this place, sit in the spa. You know, it was like it had this cave and it had a spa in there. And I thought, just sit there and no phones ringing and just rest. So I thought, the year membership. And I heard, stop me walking, audibly, I'm going to do it for you. And I was excited. This was just wonderful. I went back home and I picked up the phone and I rang this person. And I don't know what happened, but as this person answered and I said, hi, look, I've thought about it and this is what I'd like. And the person had a totally different tone. They said, yeah, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I thought, what? What is this? And this person said, I've just got to pray and find out how I'm going to do this. And I thought, oh, dear me. I don't know what happened or where this person or what went on. So I just backed out and I said, hey, look, no problems. No problems at all. That's fine. Just, yeah, it's fine. So I said, see you later and gone. And I thought, well, look, the person just, I don't know, thought something, but it wasn't right. But, you know, I walked along and God said to me, I'm going to do it for you. Now you think, how does this work? Well, 2 hours later, I got a phone call. Now, if this was from someone else, and these people weren't friends or anything like this, and this person said, what are you doing? And I said, nothing. And he said, can you stop by my work? And I said, yes. And so I stopped by his work, and he said, there's an envelope on the desk for you. So I picked it up, opened it. It was a receipt for a year's membership to this very same place. And I said, oh, so-and-so got in touch with you. No. And I said, yes, so-and-so got in touch. And he said, no. And I thought, this person's just having a prank. So they said, go over, they'll take your photo, you'll get your membership card, and that's it. So I was very excited, got this thing. I went home to ring up and thank the person. I rang them, they answered the phone, and I said, hi, it's Justin. Oh, hi. Look, I'm still praying about how I'm going to do this thing for you. What are you talking about? I've got it. What are you talking about? They said. I've got the membership. What? God said he would do it. God is not bound by a man. If God has said he will do something in your life, he will do it. What he has said in his word, no man can stop. The doors that God will open for you, no man can close. We serve God. Now, someone will do the wrong thing. God is not limited by that. Doesn't God know what's going to happen? How did that envelope get there for 12? Someone gone and paid the membership already. Now, I don't know how God runs the world, but he said to that person, I want you to ring Justin and do this. And that didn't happen. But God was not limited by someone else's disobedience. And in your life, God will not be limited by anyone else's disobedience. That was the most important thing, like for me, that I wanted at that time. So that was so important. You can imagine at the time when I'm questioning God, how does all this work? But God didn't leave it there. About a month later, I went out four-wheel driving. There were four of us, myself, and the guy, and there were two girls. We were all part of a home group. And as we went out, we stopped and we got McDonald's. We got McDonald's breakfast, had the scrambled eggs. And it's something that I would always eat with salt. I found it, not to slander McDonald's, but I found it very unenjoyable if I didn't have salt on it to make it tasty. So anyway, we'd driven down the road. We were about a kilometre down the road, and I realised I forgot to ask the lady at the window for salt. And I said, oh, I forgot to get salt. And one of the girls said, oh, you're kidding. And I said, what? And she said, last night I cleaned out my purse. And she was throwing out all these receipts and things she didn't need. And she had these salt sachets in there. And she said, I felt God say to me, leave them in there. And she said, I don't need these. So she threw them out. And I sat there. I didn't say out loud, but I said, see, God, that's what I mean. You lead your people, but they disobey. you know, and I was all upset about salt inside. And then the other girl, she said, hey, hey, and she opened up her bag and she said this very thing. She said, yesterday I felt to put salt in my bag, little salt sachets, and she gave me salt. And God said to me, I asked you, whatever you wanted, I would do for you. And I was not limited by man to do it. Whether it's the most important thing you want or grains of salt, no one will stop it coming to you. God is faithful. If God says something to you, he will do it. The day is coming when it will happen. If God gave you a dream, the day is coming when it will come to pass. And it doesn't matter about the rest of his children. He will not be prevented or hindered or held back from answering and coming to you. You know, I have a very dear friend. I've known him since I was 12. He's retired now. So I've known him for about 25 years. And we catch up very regularly. And we have coffee and that sort of thing. And he'll say to me, how are you? And I'll say, yeah, good. And I'll say, what's been happening? And he says to me, and he's been saying it to me for 15 years, he says, nothing. He says, you know, one day is like the next. One week's like the other. Now, he's not a Christian. And do you know what? He'll say to me, what's been happening? And I say, well, do you know, as a Christian, there's just things. Aren't there things that happen all the time? God did this, God did that. You had favor here. It's hard to, like, sometimes I hold back from some of the things because there is so much that God has done. I was healed of this. That happened. This, and, you know, for us in our lives, God wants us to be expectant. God said things. He's going to do them. We are not like people who don't know God. We are people who have amazing things before us every day. God wants us to expect those things to happen. God doesn't want us to sit around and say, well, today's just, nothing. Now, some days more significant things will happen than others. But you know, today you can sit down with the King of Kings and he will hear you. The Prime Minister of Australia may not know you by name, but your Heavenly Father does. The Creator of all things. It is incredible. So God is faithful. What God has said, he will do. Let's have a look at Ezekiel 33. We're going to read from verse 10. Now as for you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you have spoken, saying, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we are rotting away in them. How then can we survive? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel? And you, son of man, say to your fellow citizens, the righteousness of a righteous man will not deliver him in the day of his transgression. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he will not stumble because of it in the day when he turns from his wickedness. Whereas a righteous man will not be able to live by his righteousness on the day when he commits sin. Just pause there for a minute. God is saying if a person trusts in their righteousness and then does evil, the righteousness you trust in will not save you. In the same way, so think of it this way. If Monday to Friday you did good, but it got to Saturday and you did evil, Monday to Friday doesn't wipe out Saturday. Saturday has an account. In the same way, if someone did evil Monday to Friday, but then on Saturday they repented from those things and they stopped doing the evil, God says, I'm not going to hold Monday to Friday against them. God is amazing. God, do you know, we all deserve something terrible. Every single one of us. But God says, if you turn. How many times in your Bible does he say turn? In mine he says, turn again, turn again. He's really making this point, turn. If you're doing the wrong thing, today stop, do the right thing. Don't say, hey, but Lord, I built this for you. I started churches. Lord, I've led 400 people to the Lord. You know, Lord, I have fed and done all these things to all these people. God will say, let's settle today's account. Settle today's account. And today's account, if you have done righteously, righteousness will come. You will have those fruits and those rewards. If you have not, then that will be an account you will have to pay. Verse 13, when I say to the righteous, he will surely live, and he so trusts in his righteousness that he commits iniquity or he sins, none of his righteous deeds will be remembered. But in that same iniquity of his which he has committed, he will die. But when I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and he turns from his sin and practices justice and righteousness, if a wicked man restores a pledge, pays back what he has taken by robbery, walks by the statutes which ensnare life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. If you are here today and you have given your word on something, you need to do it. If you have borrowed, you need to pay back. If you have taken, you need to restore. If there is something in your life that falls out of righteousness, you have to get it right. We are living before God. There is no worldly gain that can be compared to the eternal blessing and promise and life that God has for us. It is better to go around with shorts and a t-shirt and no home than the wealthiest of mansions and lifestyle and lose it because it's come through iniquity. We know these things in our heart, and when we have those things in our heart get tugged, we have to honor them. We have to say, Holy Spirit, I will respond. Yes, I will set things right. If you've made a commitment to your wife or your husband, which you have, you need to honor that. Sickness and in health. What did you say before the Lord concerning your marriage? You must honor that. Don't turn from that. Not for anything. Verse 16, none of his sins that he has committed will be remembered against him. This is if there is something in your life, turn from it. If you don't turn from it, there is an account. He has practiced justice and righteousness, he shall surely live. Verse 17, yet your fellow citizens say, the way of the Lord is not right, when it is their own way that is not right. When the righteous turns from his righteousness, commits iniquity, he shall die in it. But when the wicked turns from his wickedness and practices justice and righteousness, he will live by them. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not right. O house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to your ways. Now, you might be thinking, Justin, this is the Old Testament. We live in the New Testament. Absolutely. And we know God is not a man that he lies. We know that God doesn't change. So how does this fit in the New Testament? Have a look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. Sorry, I wrote down the wrong reference. Let me get back to that one. Romans chapter 2, verse 6. I'll read from verse 5. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. Some people will have a view, because we're under the blood of Jesus, everything's permissible. The verse I was looking for, I'm sorry I had the wrong reference down, you'll be familiar with it. It says when Jesus comes back and his angels will gather the elect, God is going to, when he comes back, when Jesus comes back, he's going to judge everyone according to their deeds. There is a very strong idea and presentation that we need to look at today. How are we going today? Some people will say to me, but look, you've got to, everyone's got some problems in their life. If anyone says that to you, cut that smoke screen down. Don't let the enemy bring a deceptive lie in. Say to them, okay, fine, tell me what's going on for you today. Oh, well, I'm just saying. No, what is happening into your life today? And if they say to you, well, I've stolen something, then say to them, pay it back. Because people will just say, well, look, but we're always going to have problems, so then why should we worry? You should worry, because God says, do the right thing. You cannot trust in these things if you continue in iniquity. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Does your scripture say anything different than that? This is written 25 or 26 years after Jesus died. This is written to Christians. And written to Christians saying, we all have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And for the deeds we've done, whether good or bad. Don't ever let anyone deceive you with empty words saying, hey, it's fine. You can keep doing something that's wrong. It's really not the case. And work on it to the point of your thoughts. If there's something going on in your thoughts, cast down those imaginations. Cast down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Bitterness, lust, any thought that comes in that's contrary to godliness, don't let it even in there. So you deal with the actions and deal with the thoughts, just purity, purify, keep doing those things. If you're taking notes, there's some others you can look at. Actually, I will look at 1 Corinthians 3:12. The other reference you can write down is 2 Thessalonians 1:7 to 10. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3 we'll have a look at. Now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which is built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burnt up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. Okay, so when he's talking about, well, you can look into the context he's talking about in there. God is going to measure and evaluate what's been done. This is not an Old Testament principle. This is a New Testament principle. And I want to bring us back and say, if God said it, is it going to happen? Did the Lord say, I will come in a year and you will have a baby? Did the Lord give Daniel a dream? Did it come to pass? Did it come to pass? It did. What God says will come to pass. Now it's very interesting. Read, if we go back to Ezekiel 33. We're at verse 21. Now, in the 12th year of our exile, so Ezekiel 33, verse 21. In the 12th year of our exile, on the 5th of the 10th month, the refugees from Jerusalem came to me saying, "The city has been taken." Now, the hand of the Lord had been upon me in the evening before the refugees came, and he opened my mouth at the time they came to me in the morning, so my mouth was opened and I was no longer speechless. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Son of man, they who live in these waste places in the land of Israel are saying, 'Abraham was only one, yet he possessed the land. So to us who are many, the land has been given as a possession.' Therefore say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, you eat meat with blood in it. Lift up your eyes to your idols as you shed blood. Why should you then possess the land? You rely on your sword. You commit abominations, and each of you defiles his neighbor's wife. Should you then possess the land? Thus you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, as I live, surely those who are in the waste places will fall by the sword, and whoever is in the open field I will give to the beasts to be devoured, and those who are in the strongholds and in the caves will die of pestilence. I will make the land a desolation and a waste, and the pride of her power will cease, and the mountains of Israel will be desolate so that no one will pass through. Then they will know that I am the Lord when I make the land a desolation and a waste because of all their abominations which they have committed. But as for you, son of man," now have a listen to this, "your fellow citizens who talk about you by the walls and in the doorways of the houses speak to one another, each to his brother, saying, 'Come now and hear what the message is that comes forth from the Lord.' They come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people and hear your words. But they do not do them. For they do the lustful desires expressed by their mouths, and their heart goes after their gain. Behold, you are to them like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not practice them." Now listen to this. "When it comes to pass, as surely it will, then they will know a prophet has been in their midst." God is going to have something come to pass in our lives. He is going to evaluate us. He is going to look at our deeds. Now, if Monday to Friday was wicked, on Saturday, turn that wickedness into righteousness. If Monday to Friday was righteousness, and on Saturday you turn to wickedness, repent. Repent. Turn from that. Our last scripture, turn to Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah 13. If God says something, it's going to happen, no matter how incredible it seems. A dead womb will be fruitful. The youngest, who should never be put in position over the oldest, is going to have the oldest bow down before him, and the parents. Those things God said are going to happen, and looking back in history, they did. But God has said some things are going to happen. God has not judged us yet. God hasn't judged us yet. Is that day coming? Yes. Will we be like the people who came before Ezekiel and say, "Tell us all the things of God"? Oh, yes, we need to turn and repent and so on. But you know what? I'm not going to do it. God says, surely, I am going to do that. I am going to come. And I'm going to repay for everyone according to their deeds. It is not a hard thing for us to turn from iniquity to righteousness in any area in our life. It is, in fact, much easier for us today because we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. He teaches us. He strengthens us. He empowers us. He fills us with love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Do you know that's an amazing thing? Do you know how much righteousness will be in your life if you just allow love to flow through? It is easier for us today. Another way of saying it, we have no excuse today. God has set us free from sin today. You don't have to be a slave to sin anymore, that you should obey it in its lusts. God has set you free. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 6. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. Verse 6. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. If God says there is a day coming, a day, you know, the day of the Lord, is it going to come? It's going to come. When is it going to come? Next week? Next century? I don't know. But it's going to come. And no one knows when it's going to come. Therefore, all hands will fall limp, and every man's heart will melt. They will be terrified. Pains and anguish will take hold of them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look at one another in astonishment, their faces aflame. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, cruel with fury and burning anger, to make the land a desolation, and he will exterminate its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellation will not flash forth their lights. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shed its light. Thus I will punish who? What does your Bible say? Please, everyone, what does your Bible say? Thus I will punish the world. Does anyone say anything different? Thus I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for its iniquity. I will put an end to the arrogance of the proud and abase the haughtiness of the ruthless. I will make mortal man scarcer than pure gold, and mankind than the gold of Ophir. Therefore I will make the heavens tremble, and the earth will be shaken from its place at the fury of the Lord of hosts in the day of his burning anger. I love the promises of God. And there are so much we rejoice in. God will heal you. God will provide for you. God will give you favor. When your ways are pleasing to God, he'll make even your enemies to be at peace with you. God has all these amazing promises. Can we take all of those and come over here and forget this day of the Lord? Can we accept, yes, God, you're going to do all these promises? We say all the promises of God are yes and amen. Do we include in that the day of the Lord is coming, where God will evaluate us? We must. We mustn't be like the people in Ezekiel that said, hey, tell us all these things from God. At the end of chapter 33, tell us all these things, and they hear it and go away, and God said, and they don't do it. Surely that day will come. Please, it has been for years now, I find myself crying because I have so many friends, I have family, I have people I love dearly, and they just go, it doesn't matter. And I'm talking about Christians, and they say it's really not a problem. I don't know what you read in the Bible, but I read that. And I know what Jesus has done for us. But that salvation that he gave didn't include a license to go and do wrong. And he loves us so much, he knows that's going to hurt us. Turn and do the right thing. God is not a man that he will lie. He is not a son of man that he will change his mind, that he'll get things and flip them about. The barren womb will bear fruit. The dream that didn't seem right in culture will come to pass. The day of the Lord will come. Today is the day when we must all look and we must say, Lord, is there anything offensive within me? Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we say that before you, Lord. Lord, is there anything within us that is offensive to you? Father, we are nothing. We are poured out as a drink offering before you. We live to serve you, Father, and to see your glory come. Lord, we know that you have saved us through the blood of Jesus Christ, and no man stands in boasting in his own righteousness. But at the same time, Lord, we know you do not take delight when your righteous people do evil. And you want us to turn from that, Lord. Lord, is there anything in our hearts we need to do right? Is there anyone we need to see? Is there anyone we need to forgive? Is there anything we need to give back? Father, we live before you. Father, let us run the race. Let us not fall short of obtaining the prize, Father. Lord, I pray for myself and for everyone here. Lord, help us to attain what you have called us to attain, Lord. Lord, we want to receive that crown of eternal life, and we will not listen to another preacher or church or book that says it's okay if your word says it isn't, Lord. We will put your word first, Father. We ask you, Lord, that you will help us to understand your word. Lord, that you'll give us revelation and illumination, that we'll be able to understand what you're saying. And Lord, from what we have read and what Pastor John has talked about, Lord, what many here have spoken about, even last week as well, Lord, it seems that you are looking at your people and saying, purify. Father, help us to do that. There is nothing this world has to offer which has any value against living a life with you, Father, and heaven to come. Father, we ask you to forgive us our sins. Cleanse us, Lord, from all unrighteousness. Father, any stumbling block in our life, Lord, we just lay it at your feet and we say, Lord, set me free from this. Lord, if we need to change relationships, if we need to go back to something we went away from, Father, anything that we need to do in our life, Father, we say to you, help us. Lord, that we will not just sit down and think all is well and deny the truth of your word. Lord, we say, help us to not be like those people who came and heard the word and said, but we won't do it. We're just going to do what we want to do. Because we know, Lord, what you say will happen. Your word will come to pass. And Lord, we want to be found declared innocent by you, by the blood of Jesus, and we do not want to compound guilt to ourselves by committing evil. Father, we do not take this lightly. We pray for your help, Lord, and that you will keep us all the days of our lives. And Lord, we pray for our friends and our family. Father, there are people in our minds right now. Father, we ask, Father, that you will send laborers across their path. Lord, that you will speak to them in the night, in their dreams, that you will warn them of the danger of the way they're going, if they're going the wrong way, Lord. Father, we ask that you'll set up divine opportunities where we can sit with them and speak a word from your word, Father, that will go straight to their heart and set them free. Father, we declare today will be a day of repentance, not just for us, but for our friends, for our family. Father, we declare today a day of repentance. They will turn, and they will turn with their whole heart. Today is a day, Father, where people will put aside what they want and say, Lord, not what I want, what you want. In Jesus' name, Father, send laborers across their path, Lord. Soften their hearts. Father, we pray that if they come close to the edge, they will not fall over it, but they will be brought back. Father, if they're close to the fire, but it will not consume them, but they will know, well, it's dangerous where they are. Father, we plead, we really plead and stand in the gap for our friends and family, Father. Save them. Help them, Father. Those who are Christians who are thinking all these different things we know are sin are okay, help them, Father. Let none of us and none of them be disqualified on that great day. We commit ourselves to you, Father, and we plead for your help. We plead for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.